We're in Revelation 13 today, so I'm going to read the passage first. And he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?" And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. And authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the word and the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. And he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. If you had asked me a couple of years ago if I would ever want to preach on Revelation 13, I would say, no way, Jose, not now, not never. I wouldn't. I think it's timely, especially with, you know, having Pastor Jim preaching through this, and we have, I think it's timely. Let's just say that. One of the first questions that you might have after reading or hearing this read, now let's also remember, let's go back to the first chapter. There's a blessing in the reading and in the hearing of this book. That is the word from our Savior Jesus. So there is the blessing in the reading and the hearing, even in chapter 13. So you may be questioning and say, what in the world is going on here? That's my question. I don't know how many of you stay apprised of current events. I, for good or ill, tend to. I do. And as I gaze out onto the world, some of the things that I see, a couple of months ago even, if some of the current events were even proposed, I would have said, there is no chance that that would possibly ever happen. There is no chance that an iconic beer brand would put a transvestite on the can. 2 months ago, I would have said, no, not a chance. But there it is. What in the world? No way. There's stuff going on in Israel right now. Their political scene is in upheaval. There's saber rattling all over the world. People are just nuts. In our own country. If I turn my, let's see, which direction is Washington, D.C.? That's north. So I look out this way. The stuff going on in Washington, D.C. right now is just insane. The words that are being used and the truths that are being proclaimed are just otherworldly. There's no sound reason. There's no foundation of logic. It doesn't fit with certainly a worldview that is founded upon the scriptures. We're looking at economic shifts all over the planet. Nothing is certain. And it's not as if, and as a Christian, we have to understand that, and you probably do understand that there is one thing certain. And it's that if there's any joy that I gain from my gazing around and looking at these current events, my faith tells me, yep, he was right. He is right. He's going to stay right, and he's the only unchangeable. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord, he's the only unchangeable. That is becoming increasingly evident. So, where do we start? I want this, first of all, and this is for Pastor Jim, I'm going to be like a toddler who walks into your living room with a big bag of Legos, and I'm just going to dump it in the middle of the floor and wallow around in it for a while, and then I'm going to toddle off. So next week, Pastor Jim can clean it up. So,
you'll be all right.
Right, you'll be all right.
Yeah. All the adults will be barefoot.
Yeah, no, nobody take your shoes off. And Doug reminded he didn't wear his steel toes. But first, what I wanted to do, I've got some readings from the scripture that I simply want to lay out there as kind of a format for this. And then I'm going to dump everything on top of that. So that way we can have scripture in mind, because I wasn't quite organized enough to have this all in a neat package. But so here we go. First, I wanted to look at the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that then in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. I want to read 1 John, the second chapter, verses 18 through 22. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out in order that it might be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. And I want to read Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered and answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. And I want to read out of Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is said, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did for us what the devil would not do for us. I think that is a foundational truth. Jesus emptied himself of glory, humbled himself to the point of being found as a man less than angels, far less than his place of glory with the Father, humbled himself to death on the cross. Why? For the joy. For us. The devil seeks glory. He seeks worship. He seeks to be like God. He would not humble himself. So as we move into the study of chapter 13 of Revelation, let's keep these foundational scriptures in mind. And he stood on the sand of the seashore. Now immediately there's some conversation about who is standing on the sand of the seashore. Well, we just read about the dragon in chapter 12. The dragon is furious. He has been thwarted in his attempt to hurt the woman or the male child, because the male child has been caught up into heaven. It's Jesus. And he is enraged, and chapter 12 says that he goes off to make war with the rest of the woman's seed who hold the testimony of Jesus. So, with that scene ended, here he stands upon the sand of the seashore. Now, there's the verb he stands or I stand, there's like one letter difference which causes it to be either he stood or I stood. The King James has I stood. And it's a difference in some ancient manuscripts. What it amounts to is some scholars believe that there was a letter dropped. Some scholars believe that there was a letter added. But the fact is, contextually, it doesn't change anything, because it's obvious that whether it's John standing on the sand of the seashore or whether it's the dragon, both are present. John is there seeing the vision and recording the vision. The dragon is there because as the beast rises, the dragon gives him his authority. So, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So, there are there are many things we can know about this strange episode. There are things we can know. There are some things which I would put forward that it is not ours to know. It isn't the right time. Kind of like that scripture out of Habakkuk. Wait for it. God's word is true. If you don't understand it now, time will tell. In God's world, the right people always know what they need to know when they need to know it. And right now, what we need to know is that God is sovereign. He is the King of heaven. And He is not going to be thwarted. What can we know about this beast? Well, if you have studied Daniel, it is very apparent that the vision that Daniel sees is the same one that we see here. It's a beast rising out of the sea, and it is interesting that the description, Daniel's description, is in reverse order from John's description, and it's because Daniel was seeing the composition of this beast from one side of history, and John is seeing the composition of this beast from the other side of history. So you have, from John's side, he's seeing Babylon, Babylon and Greece, and let's see, the bear. Anyway, I lost my train of thought, but it is there. Anyway, so the identification of the beast is this. I wanted to boil it down to something very simple. And one of the passages that we read about the enemies of God, he brings his enemies into public display for what purpose? He's going to destroy them altogether. So as this beast arises out of the sea, it's evident that it's the same beast that has been present throughout human history since the fall of man. Since Genesis 3:15, when the devil usurped the birthright that was given to Adam, and human arrogance and pride took over, it is the same beast. And God would have this beast on the scene. He brings it in, he brings it on the scene so that it can be destroyed completely together. Now, one interesting thing, if you recall Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the image, the statue that he saw, it had a golden head and silver and bronze and iron, and then the iron mixed with clay at the bottom. It's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar saw an image that was partly of precious metals, and it was a beautiful image. The perspective of God, it is a wild beast. So from the human side, humanity creates this image that they see as beauty, and it's idolatrous. From God's perspective, it is a beast, a wild beast. And of course, the seven heads, and there are nuances here that tell us that this beast spans the scope of a long time. There are many factions to this beast, but it becomes apparent that In verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. So apparently this head that has the appearance that it has been fatally wounded and then healed is the most recent or contemporary appearance of the beast, which is the amalgamation of human pride and arrogance that has been going on for millennia. There's good indication that there's going to be things happening that we could not possibly imagine could be true. This fatal wound, it is possible that what causes the world to be completely amazed by this Antichrist is that this fatal wound was actually death and then a raised back to life. It could be that what causes the world to follow after this beast is they witness a resurrection. And this is all in the foundation that God is sovereign. Now, you remember how many times I read in here that it was given to the beast to do this. It was given that the beast could act for 42 months. It was given that breath could be given to the image. God is in control of this throughout the entire thing. Nothing is done except that God has ordained it. Verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? They are very impressed. And they here is at... Now remember, Christ has received his church. The they is who are dwelling on the earth. It is going to be a horrific time because the beast is a liar and a lover of no one. The devil empowers the beast to suck up glory for himself. He has no intention of sharing glory with anyone. He has no intention of providing an inheritance for anyone. It's horrible. There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. And authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It's redundant how the purpose of this beast is to bring glory to himself and to deny God. Remember when we read, the liar is the one who denies God. You have to know that in order to be a liar, you have to know the truth.
No.
Because if you don't know the truth and you speak falsehood, you're simply wrong. You're not a liar. You just don't know any better. The devil is a liar. He knows the truth. He quoted scripture to Jesus. The devil knows the truth. He is a liar. And his purpose is to deny God. I mean, it's insane. How could at least, I mean, you think about how could someone who knows the truth, especially about God Almighty, be this profound liar? But that is the insanity of evil. And the devil's purpose is to suck up as much glory for himself as he possibly can. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. Again, it was given. God is in control. Remember, there is an amount of delusion that is veiled over those who are living on the earth at this time. They are being deluded so that they will follow the beast. So God is providing some of this delusion because he's bringing his enemies into plain sight so that they can be destroyed altogether. These things are higher than us. They are above our thoughts. They are above our ways. God will do and work his good pleasure. And he has ordained certain things that will happen. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. I'm not going to go very, very deeply into the various perspectives on the scope of the Antichrist or the tribulation, except to simply point out here that authority was given over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. When I see that, this is world domination. This isn't Hitler. This isn't Mussolini or Mao Zedong or Pol Pot or Stalin. This isn't any one of our current historical figures who in the past have had a murderous regime. This is a future event of worldwide domination. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Caveat: everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. This is interesting here because there's going to be mass following after this risen kingdom and its leader. Except for those who God is sovereign over, whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now, there is an implication here that I found interesting. Some scholars have written that there are three classifications of people. There are the saved whose names are written in the Book of Life. There is documentation of the unsaved whose names were written in the Book of Life and were blotted out. And then here, there are those whose names were never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And again, God is, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His purposes are his own, and he will do his good pleasure. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. What's missing in this sentence that was in this sentence earlier in the book of Revelation? If anyone has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What the Spirit says to the churches is not here. Which is another indication that the Lord has received his church. The church is not present. What follows in verse 10, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. And I don't venture very far out into this except to just look at it for what it says. God is sovereign. If he's ordained something, it's going to happen. If he's ordained captivity, it's going to happen. If death is ordained, it's going to happen. The sword is coming. What I think the message for those who come to faith at this time is trust and obey. It's not much different from what ours is. Trust and obey. Another beast shows up. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Now this, he is a deceiver. Now this is the rising of the false prophet. He has two horns like a lamb. The two horns, in at least the number two in Scripture, always denotes a witness. You know, where two or more are gathered, where, you know, on the account of two witnesses, a judgment can be made. So this beast's job is to witness for the first beast, to be kind of the PR manager for the first beast. And what we now see is that an unholy trinity has arisen. We have the dragon, and we have the Antichrist, which is the first beast, the kingdom of arrogance and pride and blasphemy. And now we have the false prophet. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working in perfect unity. This unholy trinity is the father of lies, the opposite of our Lord and Jesus, this Antichrist, and a deceiver and a hater, which is this false prophet. The false prophet, and it's verse 12, it says, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. There's no trust among thieves and murderers. So the false prophet doesn't have any power to do anything outside of the presence of the beast. So the dragon and the beast want to make sure that all the glory flows up through the beast and to the dragon. So what we find is that the false prophet doesn't get to do anything except he's in the presence of the beast. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Again, this fatal wound was healed is mentioned. I think very much is being made of the fact that this Antichrist was dead. And now he's alive. Mm. However that works. I don't know. But it's amazing enough that the whole earth is following after him. And he, and the false prophet, in verse 13, he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. So he's doing all of these signs and wonders just to keep the rapt attention of the people who are worshiping the beast. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs. See, there's no relationship. There's nothing to be gained by following the beast. It's a deception, an absolute deception. The signs which it was given to him to perform, again, God is sovereign, in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Again, this mention of the fatal wound and the coming to life. I think so much is there is such a heavy emphasis on idolatry here in chapter 13 that it shows us the heart of our God. Truly, he is a jealous God. He wants us. And he takes idolatry very seriously. And there was given to him, again, listen to this, and there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast. You know, the one, probably the highest form of power that we recognize in God is, he is life. Mm. And here, he gives, again, God is sovereign, he gives power to the false prophet to give breath to the image of the beast. And this is for God's own purposes. He is causing his enemies to be displayed completely in the utter depth of their sin, so that when destruction comes upon them, there can be no mistaking the righteousness of his wrath. The image might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This is absolute despotism. Complete authoritarianism over the entire world. You don't worship the beast, you get killed. You don't worship the image of the beast, you get killed. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. The devil doesn't do anything original ever. He is an imitator,
Amen.
A deceiver, a destroyer. He doesn't have an original thought, but he's a great mimic. God's people are called by his name. There's reference to having God's name on our forehead. Well, the devil is, you know, he sees that, and now he's going to mimic that as well. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. I find that interesting because I contrast that with, I think, towards the end of Revelation, if you read, Jesus says, come and buy from me without price. The devil, you don't have, if you don't have his name on you, You can't buy or sell anything. The antithesis here is complete. He's a complete reverse image. His kingdom is a destructive kingdom. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. I told you before that there are some things that is, you know, some things we can know. Some things we can't know. Some things it's simply not time for us to know. I think that's what... There may be at some point during the tribulation, there will be some benefit for the saints to understand or be able to positively identify this. I don't know. I'm just going to go with that. I don't know what 666 means. There are many theories about it. You know, you could fill books and rooms, and people write movies or books, and they make movies about it. But we know Jesus. Let's bring everything full circle. And my apologies to Pastor Jim for the mess. But here we have. We have come full circle to our Savior Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. He is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can read chapter 13 of Revelation and pick out words that are opposite, and you have a perfect description of who Jesus is. So the gospel is even in... You can see the gospel by the description of Antichrist, because we know who Jesus is. I hope this has been... If not encouraging, maybe informative, but we are so blessed. Like Marilyn said, we are so blessed to be who we are in Christ. There is no safer place to be, no matter what we face in our time. No matter what we face, we have assurance that Christ is victorious. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the reading and of the hearing. And Lord, we pray that what we do and say and think will bring honor to your name, that we will keep nothing for ourselves. Lord, we thank you for such a great hope and inheritance that we have in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.